Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you speak to us today. Give us open hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, and glorify Jesus Christ amongst us. In his name we pray. Amen. Maybe a touch more. I think that the masters are down quite a bit. Thank you. Thank you. Good, good. Testing, testing. Maybe a little bit more. A bit more. All right. That's good. Maybe even a little bit. All right. Thank you. So before he went to the cross, Jesus warned his disciples to watch out for false leaders who would come into the church to harm and destroy it. As Jesus warned it at the end of Matthew's gospel, he says, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time." And as the kingdom of God has advanced from that day onwards throughout history, there will be and has been resistance, resistance from the world, resistance from our sinful flesh, and resistance from the devil. And so in these last days, we shouldn't be surprised if we see counterattacks against the gospel in the form of evil people worming their way into leadership positions in the church and reaping havoc. And this is exactly what was happening in the church in Corinth. Remember that through the ministry of Paul and his team, amazingly, the gospel had been received in Corinth, even though it was a very worldly place, perhaps the most unlikely place in the Roman Empire for the church to spread. And after quite a few missteps caused by their entanglements in their old pagan lives in the pagan world, and also a few missteps caused by their sinful hearts, which you can read all about in 1 Corinthians, the young church in Corinth had taken root. But now a more subtle form of attack has infiltrated their fellowship. People who look like genuine and impressive Christian leaders, but are not, have come in and poisoned the church. We've been going through 2 Corinthians all last term and this term as well. And in its pages, we've seen these false apostles shadow. And Paul, writing from afar, he's trying to protect the church from their influence and clean up some of the mess that they've caused. And in today's passage, he deals with these so-called super apostles head on. So it appears that there was a group of these guys who were quite impressive, and they'd been received by the Corinthian Christians. And kind of reading between the lines, the evidence in across 2 Corinthians, they probably came with very good letters of recommendation, possibly from Jerusalem. They were skillful and well-trained in public speaking. And they probably were the kind of guys who made for very wise and impressive preachers. And they were well-paid. So it probably cost quite a lot to go to their ministry conferences, so to speak. And it's likely that they were famous, even in the very young church. And apparently, you know, they probably racked up quite a few ministry successes, and now here they are in Corinth. But they were also false apostles. They were the kind of spiritual leaders that Jesus warned the church about. And so today's message is very simple. Watch out for false apostles in the church. But in particular, the question that I want us to think about is, how do we do this? How do you watch out for false apostles? What are the signs? So by contrasting by what Paul says about his genuine Christian ministry and comparing that to what he says about the false ministry of these super apostles, you know, we can get some good information about how to watch out for false apostles in the modern church. And so in the first few verses of our passage, Paul shows us that we can watch out for false apostles by examining the results of Christian ministry under Christian leaders. And so he reminds Corinth of where his own ministry and that of Titus and his friends has led them and their church. So verse 2 he says, "I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him." It's quite passionate language. But remember that Paul, he's the one who founded the church in Corinth. Before him, there were no Christians in the city. But God used Paul's leadership, Paul's teaching, Paul's apostleship to bring these Corinthians the gospel so that they turned from their sins and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul is like their spiritual father. His ministry has had the goal and the effect of presenting these Corinthians as a pure offering to God. Just like a loving father, you know, after years of parenting, joyfully presents his daughter to the groom on her wedding day. Genuine Christian leadership has the result of producing in us devotion to Jesus. It leads you to love Christ more and love Christ purely. This is the mark of all genuine spiritual ministry. And it's what Paul and Titus and their team brought about in Corinth. But let's compare that to the results of the ministry of these super apostles. Paul goes on to describe it in verse 3. He writes, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." The ministry of these super apostles is having the same effect on Corinth as the work of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. It's causing temptation to turn away from God. And so likewise, these super apostles are seducing the Corinthian Christians away from a pure devotion to Christ. And the way this is happening is through their teaching. Now, we don't know exactly what they said or what they did. They might have been some kind of like old covenant legalists. They might have been what we call Gnostics, pretending they had a secret knowledge from God that wasn't in the scriptures, that you kind of needed a bit of extra stuff of. We don't know exactly what was going on, but we know about the results. Their work resulted in introducing beliefs and practices into the church that contradicted the authentic apostolic gospel, the gospel that Paul preached and the gospel that's now preserved for us in the Bible. Paul complains in verse 4. "For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel to the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." So Paul and his team, they've come to Corinth and they've brought the city the pure life giving water of the true gospel of Jesus, which led them to Christ. But these super apostles who have come to their city with their false teaching are poisoning the well with a different gospel, and Corinth was listening to them. And the result is spiritual death, the leading of Corinth away from Christ. But we can learn from the Corinthians' mistakes. If you did high school chemistry, chances are you did the litmus test. You know, when you get the litmus paper and you dip it into a liquid that you mixed up, and you know, it turns red under acidic conditions and it turns blue under alkaline conditions. We have here a litmus test for evaluating the authenticity of any spiritual ministry or teaching, and a tool to help us watch out for false apostles in the modern church. You just need to look where the results of a ministry point and judge it by its fruit. As Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Ministry that leads you towards the true Christ of the apostolic gospel, preached by Paul and preserved in the New Testament, ministry that does that is genuine. It comes in different forms. Sometimes it looks slightly different, but the result is the same. Ministry that leads you away from the true Christ of Scripture is false. And this is a simple test that we can apply to any ministry. Ask yourself of any preacher or any sermon, including this one, is this leading me towards or away from Christ? With any church you visit, any book you read, any teaching you come across on TV or the internet, any activity or program or group or ministry of the church, ask yourself, is this leading me and others towards or away from Christ? If it's pointing you to the true Christ and his true gospel preserved in the Bible, then jump in and drink deeply. It's genuine. But if you come across any spiritual ministry, even if it looks good, that is pointing you towards any other thing, then it's false, and stay away from it. So we can watch out for modern false apostles by looking at where the results of ministry point. In the next part of the passage, again, Paul is making a comparison between himself and the super apostles. But this time, he's contrasting not their results, but their different ways of operating in ministry. Let me read you verse 5 and 6. But I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. And we've made this perfectly clear to you in every way. So the super apostles and their ministry looked good, and it looked flashy, and it looked important and impressive. Like we said before, they were probably trained orators, perhaps skilled in the classical art of rhetoric. So, kind of imagine one part courtroom barrister and one part theatre actor. The kind of people that would be able to put on a show to draw in and impress a crowd, either in a church meeting or, in the agora, the public marketplace in the ancient world, to sort of bring people in and listen. The modern equivalent might be, those slick kind of business motivation seminars, or maybe, the best of the TED Talks on the net. Imagine, outdoor preaching with booming, well-projected voices and long dramatic pauses and, exciting their listeners with a speech that's dripping with pathos and energy. And then on the other hand, there was the Apostle Paul, and him, maybe not so much. In comparison, Paul is perhaps a bit bookish, maybe a bit introverted, the kind of guy who's preaching, it's probably very good, but maybe a bit dense, maybe a bit boring. He's ordinary. But Paul, while not flashy, he doesn't preach himself, but he preaches Jesus Christ as Lord. And he proclaims this great treasure, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, with an all-surpassing power that is from God. Even if, as Paul admits in his earlier in 2 Corinthians, even if he carries this treasure around in a very ordinary jar of clay, which is him and his ministry. The ministry of the super apostles is impressive in worldly terms, but it's hollow. Paul's ministry, it might be unimpressive at first glance, but within it, it has a true knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. To draw a further distinction between the genuine and the false, Paul then compares how the two different types of ministries operate financially. And he asks rhetorically in verse 7, was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel to you free of charge? Now this is quite interesting because Paul often received financial support from other churches to fund his work, and we see the evidence of that in the pages of the New Testament, including from the Macedonian churches in northern Greece, which he mentions in verse 9 of our passage. But with Corinth, he probably didn't receive direct financial support from them. And in the book of Acts, which records Paul's early ministry in Corinth, we see Paul working as a tent maker, or as a leather worker, to help self-fund his ministry in Corinth. It doesn't appear that he did this anywhere else, in the other cities where he was planting churches and preaching the gospel. So why did he do it in Corinth? Why was he sort of self-funded and preaching the gospel for free in this city? Well, one theory is that he wanted to spare the Corinthians, who were very rich in worldly terms, from their spiritual immaturity about money. The Corinthians might have been wrapped up in the ancient world's client-patron system, which kind of dominated their social operating. And it could have been that they would have thought if they were paying Paul, you know, they weren't making an offering to the church, but, you know, they were kind of funding Paul as their patron, and that comes with a whole set of kind of buying social obligations and stuff like that. But whatever the exact reason, Paul's decided to forgo their financial support and preach the gospel to them free so that the Corinthians would be better able to hear and understand the gospel message, and that money wouldn't get in the way. What about the super apostles? Well, reading between the lines, we can speculate that they had no such concerns. Even though the Corinthians were spiritually immature about money and giving, the super apostles were happy to operate in a worldly manner and charge full price for their ministry, even if that was a benefit to Corinth or not. And Paul's pointing out that how Christian ministry presents itself and how it operates does reveal something of its spiritual authenticity. And thus we have a second tool to watch out for modern false apostles, and that is by watching out for worldly forms of ministry that seek to impress us. We need to watch out for this, not just here in Berwick Anglican Church, but we also have to watch out for it in the wider Christian world. At my parents' house, they have pay TV, including some of the Christian channels, and the other day I was over there and watching some of them. And I found it fascinating, but I got to say that I wasn't that impressed. I watched a few programs, you know, people giving sermons and seminars, and they were very well produced. They were well marketed. They were well edited. They're often filmed in front of these, you know, these massive live audiences in these big auditoriums. You know, some of what they were saying was okay, but a lot of it seemed to be more about the speakers and their ministries than about God and His Word. And I saw this one program that at the end, it's like you know, get a copy of Pastor So-and-so's special teachings. With a donation via your credit card of just $29.95. And it reminded me a bit of the Corinthian super apostles. A lot of this stuff is very impressive operations. They're global ministries. Thousands and thousands of people are involved and, like, you know, set out to Christian television markets across the earth. But I wonder that if a bit below the surface, it seemed pretty worldly. So be careful when watching Christian TV. Be careful when listening to Christian radio. Be careful in the Christian bookstore. Be very, very careful on the Christian internet. Look critically at the messages and the marketing and the operation of these kind of ministries. And ask yourself, where is the focus? Is it Christ, His Word, the church? Or is it on the teacher or the author or the leader or the ministry for its own sake? Because we can test the authenticity of Christian materials and Christian ministries by watching out for worldly forms of operation. To close our passage, Paul provides a warning about what false apostles actually look like and whom they actually serve. And it's not God, and it's not even themselves, but it's Satan. Picture in your mind, you know, a servant of Satan. You know, what comes to mind? You know, maybe it's like black robes and dark rituals lit by candlelight at midnight and that sort of thing. That kind of evil does exist, but it's easy to spot and it's even easier to deal with in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, which it cannot stand against. The main satanic danger we need to be on watch for doesn't look like that. In fact, Satan's servants look good at first glance to our church eyes because they look like servants of righteousness. As Paul says of these super apostles in verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." Such people, you know, they want to be thought of important spiritual leaders among God's people. And they present themselves in a good and godly way. And their ministry is in a good and godly way. And whether they realize it or not, their ministry seeks to harm and destroy the church. And ultimately, they serve not God, but Satan. But the reason why we have to be so careful in watching out for false apostles and their modern equivalents, whether they're false teachers or false ministers or false vicars or false leaders generally in the church, is because they look good. And you can't spot them at first glance. But we're warned in the New Testament to watch out for them. So be discerning and watch out for false apostles in the church by avoiding ministry that leads you away from Christ and avoiding ministry that operates to impress by worldly means. But instead, drink deeply from true apostolic ministry. And that's ministry in all types and all forms that feeds you God's word and leads you to a pure devotion to Christ. Amen.